morning here. Okay, we're going to start the recording. We're going to be talking about make that follow-up call and how to deal with call reluctance. I hope everyone brought a paper and pencil because today we're going to have an information-packed seminar. And also, Karen Van Wander Warmerdam will be giving us a lot of information here. Karen, thank you very much for joining us. And I will let you take it away.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. So what I've done today is I've brought together some information to try and make that task of picking up the phone call, of picking up the phone and calling either people you know or you don't know, easier and more comfortable. And I've put the information into three categories, so you might want to write that down on a piece of paper because I'm going to skip from one to the other. And the first one is sort of the foundation category, and I'll call that getting organized. The second one that I want to go over is about the mentality, and I call that have the attitude that works for you. And the third one is differentiate between the product or the service and yourself. So the three sections that I'm going to cover is getting organized, having an attitude that works for you, and differentiating between the product and yourself. So if any of these one particular ones really rings a strong bell with you as we go through it, I'd really appreciate hearing what's relevant for you, and then I can go deeper into that area or address a particular issue for you. So to start, some of the first things that I would recommend when it's time for you to make calls, and that was partially mentioned just before we started the official part of the seminar, is what can you do to make it easier? And one of the things, the very first thing on my list, is block out time in your agenda to make the calls together. So if you know you should be making 5 calls a week or 5 calls a day, put that block of time in your agenda to do that. If it's a priority, block time out for it. And you want to do it together because it'll help you keep your focus. It'll allow you to build some momentum. Once you're in the right mind frame to actually make it, you can stay in there and use it for the next call. It allows you to leverage the confidence that you can build. Okay, if one call doesn't go great, you're immediately on to the next call, so you don't sit and mull that over too long. And if a call does go really well, you could sort of use that to leapfrog yourself into the next call. So I highly recommend to group those tasks together and do that. Is there anyone on the call who's tried that before and noticed the difference? As opposed to saying, well, every morning I'll make one call.
Karen, I blocked out a piece of time to make the calls. Is that what you mean?
Yes, but what I'm saying is try to make a number of calls in that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if you know that every week you should make 10 calls, then try to do all 10 of them at the same time. Then block out enough time in a morning or in an afternoon where you can go through each one of them. You see what I mean?
Okay, and yeah, understand.
As opposed to saying, okay, from 10 to 10:30 every morning, I'm going to try and get one or two calls done.
So, for example, just take a larger block of time on Tuesday instead of smaller blocks of time daily.
Yes, right, exactly. And then you sort of get in a groove and you want to, get in the right mindset, and you'll have your desk, arranged in the best way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be easier to make the next call and to go to the next call, as opposed to having to reorient yourself, every day to make one or two calls. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Here, and I can observe a bad habit in myself.
Aha. And would you like to share that with us so we can see if we're doing it or not.
And is that okay with everybody?
Sure, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. What happens, even though the communications coordinator sets my appointments and blocks out periods of time to make those calls, because my contact database is approximately 6,300, I book, I'm interrupted because there's something more important that comes up. A client wants to sign a contract. In other words, I am easily distracted, and I want to change that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point, Dale. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, yeah. And when you're, I find that, you know, and other sales coaches will probably tell you the same thing, is that when you need to start making the phone calls, really allocating time and concentrating on only that task will really make it a lot easier. Because it's that switching of gears that's really hard. So you want to get into that mindset and have all your tools right there and then just go through your list, whether it's, you know, make 5 calls or 10 calls or 20 calls or whatever it is. So, it's exactly what I'm suggesting you do is block out time and minimize the distractions so that you don't have to shift gears back and forth between things. Okay? So, thanks, Dale. That's a helpful example, I think, for people.
And Dale, next time we speak, I can give you some more tips onto that, too.
Okay.
And you know, the other part of it is if you're making really a prospecting call as opposed to just touching base, then if you can't get a hold of someone, you just go to the next person on your list to call. So if you get 3 voicemail machines or 3 busy signals, you just go to the next person to call. And again, that just keeps the momentum. Okay? And that, you know, people are busy, so that sometimes happens.
Do you leave a message?
Leaving a message may be a good thing to do, right? And that's one possibility. But I think today what I really want to talk about is what are the things you can do to help actually making the call and getting it done. We could probably do another seminar, Cheryl, on, you know, what are strategies on how to, what to actually say during the call.
Yeah, that would be a good one too, depending on.
It's a different topic. So that's one. Block out time in your agenda and make your calls together. And if it means an afternoon once a week or one day once a week, then I would recommend doing that. And, so, you know, professional salespeople, that's what they do also. And that's how their sales managers, you know, instruct them to work also.
Well, bingo, there's the piece of gold for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Instead of the twice a day calling, making the phone calls and the emails are in that category for me as well.
Yes.
Just pick one day and have more time.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I feel lighter.
Great. Fabulous. Wonderful. That's wonderful for me to hear. Okay, so the next thing is make sure you have your tools and everything that you need for your system in place when you call. So that means when you sit at your desk to do that, you probably need a notepad and a pen to make notes while you're talking to someone. You need a clear workspace so you're not distracted by something else that you need to do in an hour or two or tomorrow. Okay? You need your files or your lists of who to call, what their number is, what their most recent information is. So you know, you may have a paper file in front of you, or you may have your database and your computer in front of you. All right, or you may have both. Okay, you may want to make sure that you got the latest information from their file or from a colleague. So you want to have all that information grouped together so you're up to date on what's going on. You know what the telephone number is. Again, you don't have to get up from your desk to make the next call. All right, and you have your appropriate forms or checklists, either a hard paper copy or on the computer, there so that during and after the call, you can put in the information that you may need to make a note of. So if someone gave you information or that you wanted to note or you needed to, you know, change a contact name, that you have immediately there the place where you need to put it. If there's a follow-up action, what's the follow-up action and where do you put it? Do you put it in your database? Do you put it on a form? Okay. And if there's an agreed time when somebody's going to get back to you, you're going to get back to them, or they're going to get back to you. Again, where can you note that? So all of that's part of your systems and part of your tools. And whether you have that on paper or whether you have that on the computer, for instance, I use an Excel file when I'm calling people and calling back people just to track it. You know, and when am I supposed to get back to somebody who 2 weeks ago said, you know, call me in 3 weeks? I use an Excel file to keep that up. You know, most professional sales organizations will have a, you know, customer tracking database for the salespeople to use, or for telemarketing people to use. It's the same thing. So all the information is in there. And it doesn't really matter if it's electronic or if it's paper, but have everything that you need and all your tools available when you start making the calls. And it's different tools than if you were doing something else. Okay?
You know, Karen, that's really an important point. Before, when I would make my calls, I would have like little sticky notes and pieces of paper that I'd write on. But inevitably, I'd need that information a week or two, a month later. So I have this notebook. It's a 5-part notebook, and I call it my VIP notebook. And it's more for just jotting down notes, scribbling information, but at least it's in this notebook if I ever need it.
Right.
And then, like you say, if it's a follow-up, then I carry that over to my calendar. So, yes, being organized with the tools is really important.
Right. Whatever your system is, you know, you need to have that working,
mm-hmm.
especially for when the call's done. Okay, now what do you do? Where do you put the important information? Where do you note that, you know, this call's been done, and what's the result of the call, and what are the result of any action items? Yeah. And the sticky notes would be, you know, if you find yourself on a telephone call reaching for a Post-it note, that's a sign you need to do something different, I would say. I hear some giggles recognizing that one.
So something like a marketing sheet where, you know, there's past clients, sphere of influence, just all these activities, and then just track them somehow.
Right, and again, they could be in a real database. They could be just in an Excel spreadsheet. It could be just a series of, you know, forms.
So it's a form. Is it a form of self accountability?
It's really about tracking your prospecting and marketing. That's really what it's about.
But what do I do with the data?
Well, that's why I put mine in an Excel spreadsheet, because I can see exactly, in the case of prospecting, right, who did I call, where did I get their original contact, what was the result of the call, what's the next action, and over time I can see, you know, and make an analysis of what's come out of that. So, it's, you know, and the larger picture is you can track your activities and see, you know, what's happened with this. In the case of if they're really sales calls or prospecting calls, are you making any progress with, for instance, leads that you got from, you know, let me pick an example, a networking group that you've been going to for 6 months. So after 6 months of going to this networking group, if you've been tracking who you've been calling, how you've been following up, and you know you've gotten a lot of business or no business, then you'll actually be able to see it. But the only way to see that is to actually track it. Does that answer your question, Del?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is Lynn. And what I found when I was in the printing business is that the follow-through in that industry, it's probably true for other industries, is pretty terrible. And I get a lot of business just because I called them back.
Yes.
3 months later when they were going to be out of their letterhead or whatever.
Right. Right.
And I used an index system when I, it was a fairly small company, so it wasn't too hard to keep track of.
Mm-hmm.
When I would talk to them in March, I would flip to August and write them in.
Exactly.
In August, that's who I was going to call first, that list that had accumulated.
Exactly. And then you also had a way, when August came along, to go back and cross-reference, well, what was the information from 3 months ago on them?
Right.
Right?
I used to jot down what was I said to them and what they were wanting.
Exactly.
So I could remember what it was that we were going to talk about, or I was going to ask them about
exactly.
that particular project or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of comments about they couldn't believe I remembered.
Yep. It's a great way to impress people.
It's a good way to get the business.
Yeah, and a good way for them to realize that they can trust you and depend on you. Because you're conscientious. And Lynn, that follows into my next point and the last one on the getting organized section, which is partially knowing what you're going to ask or tell when and with what phrasing when you actually make the call. So if you have a way to track the information and the status of somebody, it makes it very, very easy to plan your call, and that's what this last item is about. So what I suggest you do is have a mini agenda for every person you're going to call. And what I do is I take a clean sheet of paper and I think about, okay, what's the objective for my call? And then I figure out what is it that I'm going to ask or tell or offer the person. And then I need to think about, okay, what are the key words or phrases or questions that I need to include when I talk. And I write that down on the paper.
Karen, what was that? Offer, tell, and what?
Offer, tell, or ask.
Thank you.
Okay. And before I make the call, I go through these things, and these pieces will be in the notes that Cheryl will be able to send you after the call later today. But I take a new sheet of paper, and I write these down before I make the call. So the key points and the key words. What's my objective in making the call? What do I want to make sure that I actually do or get covered? And what are the key words or phrases that I want to use or a key question that I want to ask? Okay, and then I have it in front of me on paper. Okay, so you have what I would call a mini agenda. You're not just, you know, dialing the number and then winging it completely. In some instances, you know, certain salespeople have a complete script for the entire phone call. You know, and you may eventually decide that that's what's most comfortable for you, but I think most of the type of calls that most of us make, they're slightly different depending on who we're calling. But all the same, have a short written agenda, and it can only, you know, it only has to take you maybe 30 seconds or a minute to write on paper, but it will get you focused, and it's much easier then to start the conversation and have it run smoothly if you understand what you're trying to do and what are the topics you want to hit upon in the conversation. So, for instance, Lynn, it was your experience about the printing industry, right?
Yeah.
Right. So you would always know, okay, what is it that I have to specifically check with them to see if now they need me, right?
Exactly. And I actually at that time had a script for when I was calling someone cold to focus on getting the appointment, because that's what I wanted is an appointment.
Right.
And sometimes I couldn't get an appointment because they weren't motivated to meet with me because they didn't need anything right then.
Right.
And then I would try to find out when they were going to need something and write that down because, you know, if they're ordering letterhead 6 months from now, I wanted to be there.
Great.
I wanted to be there a little ahead of 6 months.
Right. So she's covered a couple things in this section. She was very clear on what her objective was. Her primary objective was to see if she could get an appointment to introduce herself. Because these were cold calls, correct, Lynn?
Yeah.
These were people she didn't know her. And then, if that wasn't possible because they didn't need anything, she was also clear that the next thing that she wanted to know was to ask some discovery questions and find out when might they be needing somebody. And if therefore they were open to, you know, you calling back. Am I correct with that?
Yeah, I wanted to find out, one, if they were open to exploring a new supplier.
Yep.
Because pretty much everybody has a printer.
Mm-hmm.
And because if they weren't, I didn't want to waste my time.
Yep.
Repeatedly calling them back. And a lot of people have a hard time saying no, or that, you know, no, they're not interested. I'd much rather hear a no than a maybe. So I was trying to get that information, and if they were open to that, then I wanted to know when they were going to need it next.
Right. So you can tell, and this is a great example for the other people, is that for the other people on the call, is that she had a real clear idea of what her process was and what she was looking for. And therefore, it was also very clear to her what question she was going to ask to get what type of information. Okay? It's a really good example of having a agenda for the call, being clear on what you have to ask, what you have to find out, what you want to offer. Because if someone's not looking for a new vendor, then it's very clear that, what do you do then, Lynn?
You say thank you very much.
Exactly.
Have a great day.
Yeah, and you go to the next call. Okay, so this is the last point on this one, is to be clear about what you want to ask or find out, what you want to tell, or what you want to offer to someone. And the more clear you are, the more confident you'll be able to be on the phone. And I think that's a lot of what happens with people, is they feel like, well, I have to make a follow-up call. But when I ask one or two questions more as a coach, they actually don't know what they really need to say. Any questions about this one before I move on to the next section? Or any comments? Additional comments?
Well, I'm realizing that in my real estate business, I don't, I was very clear in the printing business, but I can see that that's much more difficult for me to do in the real estate business. If I've met somebody cold on an open house or something like that, that's pretty straightforward, and I do keep pretty good notes about what we talked about. But in my database, when I'm just calling to touch base with somebody, that's much more of a nebulous. Or my approach has been nebulous, and it shouldn't be. I can see that I need to plan that better.
Yeah, and it makes and when it's not clear, it makes the call difficult to make and difficult to feel good about. Correct?
That's true.
Right.
A lot easier to procrastinate about.
A lot easier to procrastinate, right? But as soon as you get a lot clearer, as you were in the printing business, making those calls should be easier. Okay.
True.
Great. Okay, so we're going to move to the next section, and that is, have the attitudes that work for you. And again, Lynn touched upon some of these. I've got 5 little bullets here with some sub-bullets. And my idea here is that the mentality that you approach making these types of calls with can make all the difference in the world as to how easy they are, or the opposite, if they feel like a drudgery or a struggle to you. Okay, so this is no longer the logistical sort of organizational side of it. This is, what's your mindset going in order for you to dial the number and come across on the phone with a good energy that's going to work for what you're trying to accomplish? Hopefully one of these will be a little bit of an aha for you. So I'm going to go through a number of different ones, and I'll tell you which one really works for me. And my hope is that one of them will help you get sort of over that hump at times, okay? So the first one is that you need to believe that you have something good to offer to the right company or person. And that has to do with a self-confidence issue and where are you coming from. Because if you're not clear that you really have something of value, it makes it really hard to start talking to somebody else about it over the phone in that type of situation. Okay? So that's the first one. So the coaching question, you know, that I ask people is, do you really believe that what you have to offer is valuable to the right people? And if you can answer that with a very, very clear yes, absolutely, then you're in good shape.
I think everyone on the call has heard me talk about their gift that they have to offer people too, so that's very similar.
Okay.
So, can I practice, Karen?
Sure.
Quick data, where do you live?
I live in Switzerland.
Okay. Oh, there was just a man, a friend of mine in from Switzerland last night in Tucson. But anyway, do you realize there's a window? Okay, let's say you just pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Hi, Karen, this is Dell. How have you been?
Hi, Dell. I've been good. There's been a lot of exciting things going on.
Well, I only have a minute, and I wanted to let you know that between now and February, there's going to be a window in the United States where you can get a 16 to 25% cash on cash return on a single family investment in a single family home. Are you thinking about making any investments in 2005 outside of Switzerland?
In 2005, no, I'm probably not.
Okay, so then I would say thank you, goodbye. Is that an example? Because that's a fact. Meaning?
You mean about getting a clear no?
Yeah. No, meaning how did I do?
Oh, how did you do? Oh, I think you did fairly well, and I would say that even if someone tells you no, like that, okay, that there's still a little bit more information that you could probe for that would be really useful for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I felt from you was one of the things was is that it would be perfectly okay for me to tell you no. So I was comfortable telling you no.
That's great.
And I felt that you were comfortable with me giving you a no. And that's one of the bullets here under this section, okay? That a no is a good thing to get.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Thank you.
That's one of the things that I felt from you when you did that little role play with me, and that I would say is really good. Okay? Now, Lynn said, you know, I would much rather get a no than a maybe. What are the advantages of getting a no?
It clears the space to move to the next one quickly.
Exactly. It moves you forward. You get to move on. It makes you progress. It gives you clarity.
It actually saves you time, too, doesn't it?
Exactly. And that's the fourth item that I had down here. It saves you time. It saves you time. It saves you a lot of time. Instead of spending 20 minutes or 3 weeks on that person, you realize, oh, they're not really a prospect because they're not looking for another vendor or they're not looking into that type of opportunity at all in the next 12 months.
Karen, would it be appropriate, like in Dell's case, to say, Karen, can I check back with you in about 8 months to see if this is an area you'd be interested in, kind of getting their permission?
Yeah, you could do that. And even before that, I would ask a couple more what I call discovery questions to find out if that would even be worth his time.
Okay.
Okay, so I wouldn't even jump to that yet. I would ask more of a question that would find out whether or not, you know, in this case I would have been someone who could eventually be interested. Just as Lynn was trying to differentiate between somebody who's not interested now but could be interested in 3 months, you want to ask that in between question, okay, to find out if there really is, like, well, in 3 months or 6 months or 9 months, there is a possibility, or is there really no possibility, okay?
And can I say something?
Sure.
Dell, when you did this role play, is this somebody that you knew? Was it a cold call?
No, this is a fact in this moment. Meaning literally, this is what's, you know, when I heard Karen speak of, I mean, so, that's a fact in my marketplace. In fact, I'm thinking about doing it myself today because I see many opportunities.
Yeah, what I was asking you is, did you know, in your hypothetical practice, did you know this person? Was it a cold call, or did you know this person?
Oh, I knew Karen.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the impression. That's the impression I had when you did it.
Okay. Yeah, they knew what you do for a living, and
Because this is
what you had to offer them.
This is part of my intention this week, is to call everybody I know in the next, between now and the end of the year, and ask them that very same question.
So that's
right. Because when you were talking, I wasn't clear on exactly what you do, and
yeah, I'm
a, like I'm something a, that was going to require some money on my part, and it would be a trust right. issue.
Okay. Well. Anyway, what I'm the universal sales manager for a major real estate firm.
Yeah. But I had the impression that when he was doing that role play with me, that, you know, I was someone that he knew.
You were in his database.
Yeah, his database. Right.
So well, you feel like,
I understand. Depending on it's a very different situation if it's somebody you know or somebody you don't. It's very different.
Cold calls are a little bit different, aren't they?
Right, because you need to introduce yourself and lay some of that background, and then of course the trust issue comes up as to what you're proposing. And I think it's Lynn, right?
Yeah.
I think that's sort of partially the point you're trying to make, right?
Yeah.
I was just
curious where he was starting from.
There's the structure of the call of what you say and what's in your script or agenda is different depending on do you know the person and do they know what you're doing or not. Absolutely. It's a big difference. Okay?
I think if I did that on a cold call, and even if the person wanted to buy, if they didn't know me or if I didn't take the time to introduce myself, they wouldn't buy because of that, right?
Well, you don't, you know, that comes back, Cheryl, to, you know, what I talked about on the last call about you have to, you know, establish some credibility and affinity and trust.
Yes, that's it.
Before actually diving into things, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And so on a cold call, you first have to do a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
On a real cold call, at least a little bit before you get to the point of your call, and that may be just a sentence or two. Okay? But I have a couple more points here on the attitudes, and then a last thing about sort of the emotional block. So what I want to move on to that. So first of all, just to summarize a little bit where we were on this, is you really need to believe that you have something really good to offer for the right person or company. Okay? Second point was that to use the philosophy that no is good, because it moves you forward, makes progress, gives you clarity on what's going on, and saves you time. Okay. The third one is the one that really works for me, and that is focus on getting the calls done as your objective, as opposed to focusing on getting a particular outcome from the call. And this is, again, the idea of make the calls. So focus on getting them done and getting them made and talking to the people, as opposed to putting yourself under the pressure of, I've got to be able to accomplish this in the call.
That one has really helped me a lot.
Could you repeat that, please?
What you want to focus on is
the idea.
Yeah, is getting the calls done as your objective. So it's more important to do the call, or to do the 10 calls, or to do the 20 calls, than it is to get any particular outcome from any of them. But I will guarantee you, if you can sit down in an afternoon and do 20 or 30 calls and get no really great outcome from all of them, but you've done 30 calls, you've had a successful afternoon because you've actually gotten them done. And again, you'll know from the end of the conversation whether or not you're going to spend time with those people or not, and you'll know where you're at and how you need to move forward. So you've gotten it off your to-do list, and you can reevaluate again. So it's more important to focus on getting the calls done if you're not getting them done than to focus on a particular outcome. Another way to say that is focus on the progress of getting the calls done. So I know, you know, I had 3 follow-up calls today. I did all 3 of them this afternoon before our call. That's progress for me. That makes me feel good. This one really works for me. Does that resonate with anyone else?
Sure does for me.
Absolutely. I had that, I'm certain I had that reversed.
That you were focusing very strongly on the outcome of the call.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not only the outcome of the call. It's everything else in my life.
Uh-huh.
So it's not just about the call.
Yeah. Yeah. And this ties into focus on enjoy the process though.
Absolutely.
There you go. So enjoy the process, okay? And focus on actually getting the calls done as opposed to the outcome, okay?
Well, and that's what you can control is the activity.
Exactly. That's what you can control. Exactly.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another way that people will describe that is focus on what you can control. Thank you. That was Lynn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Focus on what you can control. What you can control is actually that you've actually made the calls.
You know, what this reminds me of is enjoy the journey and not the destination.
Yeah. Okay, so moving along, another way to take pressure off of it, and we don't have a lot of time to get into this, but this is just another one little point to help you take pressure off is to make it a game. There are three games that you could consider, and one of them is the goal is to get a no. Okay, so i.e., your idea is, how can I get a no on this call as soon as possible so that I can move on to the next one? It's kind of a radical approach. It will really save you time. It may get you really good at handling the conversation, at really weeding out where you should be talking to people and not. So it's great for sort of cold call situations. Another one is agreeing with someone to make a type of race. So you have you know someone else, and both of you need to make follow-up calls. You can agree, okay, we're going to make 10, and whoever makes the 10 first or the 21st or the 31st has to take the other to lunch, and we have to do it today or this afternoon.
So are we all in the same community?
We are.
Yeah, you could you know, try and find someone in the community who has the same type of situation.
Awesome.
Yeah, in Tuesday afternoons for 3 hours, you're going to see about making your calls. Okay. Usually men like that one. They like the competitive nature of that one. And the other thing is, if none of that works, you can still say, though, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? If you're still having a hard time making those phone calls, it's like, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? And put it into that type of context. And that ties into the last bullet point in this area, which is adopting the philosophy of I have nothing to lose. Except if I don't make the call. I have nothing to lose except when I don't make the call.
That's a biggie.
Yeah. And that's another one that works really well for me. So I ask myself, what do I have to lose by calling? Nothing. What do I have to lose if I don't make the call? Maybe a great opportunity. You know, Lynn's example of people who were really happy that she called back 3 months later. That happens. Oh, I'm so glad you called. That happens. You don't know until you actually make it. Okay? So the last chunk, if all of that still doesn't get you into a good space, then what I would recommend you look at is what's going on the emotional level. And this is differentiate between the product or the service and yourself. If your self-esteem or your own emotional issues are getting tied up in it, it makes it very, very difficult. So the question that I would have is there some fear going on or is there some avoidance going on? And you could be afraid to approach somebody or to interrupt somebody, to ask or to offer. I'll just repeat those again, but they'll be in the notes. Are you afraid to approach somebody, to interrupt, to ask or to offer? Or are you avoiding rejection or disappointment or change or finding out the information? Because if those things are cropping up in this activity, then you need to look at my recommendation would be, look at what's the self-talk that's happening in your head. What's the self-talk that you're telling yourself underneath? And the best time to do that is when you're sitting at your desk and everything's ready and you still can't dial the phone, or you still feel uncomfortable dialing the phone. Then ask yourself, what am I feeling and what am I thinking? And there could still be a piece of negative self-talk going on that's got you hooked. So I recommend asking yourself what that is and then looking at it and writing it down, and then beginning to differentiate between offering a product or a service and offering yourself. So when you're calling on behalf of your business or somebody else's business, what you're really inquiring about or what you're really trying to talk about is a particular product or service on offer or opportunity on offer. It's not about yourself. So if the answer is no, like the answer I gave Dell was no, I wasn't interested, I don't think I'll be doing that, that no or rejection was not to him. It was to what he was offering. And that's the differentiation you need to make. So does that ring a bell with anyone, that whole ball of wax there that I just talked about?
We know.
Feel something?
Yes.
Yeah, that definitely happened.
Yeah. And can anybody now figure out what the self-talk statement is? You sort of want to look at what's the piece that's hooking me, that's tripping me up. And it could be, I'm not good enough, or it could be, nobody will want what I have to offer, or it could be, they don't want to hear from me.
I think the two things, the fear and the avoidance, you know, both of those play a part a lot of times.
Does anyone feel that this is the piece that's really got them blocked more than anything else?
Well, for me it was until I did some work with Cheryl about it.
Uh-huh.
It really shifted it.
It really shifted it, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And because that basically has been my major block, this the whole feeling set that comes up when I sit down to do this and get all prepared, and then it's like, I really don't want to, you know, do this.
Exactly,
you know?
And that's the moment when you'll be able to notice it.
The moment when I find something else to do.
Yes.
Or have in the past.
That's exactly the place to look for it. So when you're saying, oh, I got to do this real quick first, and you're finding yourself procrastinating and distracting, even though you set it in your agenda and you have all your tools ready.
Exactly. And in real estate, it's really easy to find a distraction because there's always something going on that seems urgent.
Yeah.
And it's easy to bail on this activity. But if I bail on it enough, then I find I have no business.
Exactly. Yeah. And for all salespeople, it's just the nature of sales. You can always find something else to do. You can always find it. So, but thanks, Lynn, because again, that's exactly the point where you will notice it comes up. Okay, you've got everything ready. This is the time you were supposed to do it, and it's 20 minutes later, and you still haven't started. And so my recommendation is at that point, when you become aware of what's happening, and ask yourself, what's going on? What do I think? What do I feel? And you get a little coaching from someone if you need to address that. So those are the three sections that I have here. So the part of getting organized and getting your logistics and your tools in order, and the second part is having an attitude that works for you, okay, to be in the right mindset on the call and to make the call. And then the last one is to watch out that you differentiate between the product or the service that you're offering and yourself, and to be on the lookout for those emotional blocks that might come up.
This was great information today, Karen. You gave us a whole lot to think about. What I would like to do now, we only have a few minutes, I'd like to hear from each of you what you're taking away from the call today and what really worked for you, and then I'd like Karen to spend a minute and talk about what she, how you can reach her, and I'll also tell a little bit about what's coming up with Prime Leaders. So let's go around the room, and if you would share with us what you heard today that works for you. Who would like to begin?
Well, I can start. This is Lynn, and I need to, I hate to be rude, but I'm going to need to run here. It was a great call. Lots of good points for me, reminding myself to get, to be prepared for the call, and encouraging me to block the time is just what I need to hear. So those are probably the biggest points for me.
Perfect. Thank you, Lynn.
Okay, great. Thanks, Lynn. Really helps me to hear the feedback.
Okay. And I'm going to have to run.
Have a wonderful day, Lynn.
Great talking with all of you.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks for your participation.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
How about you, Del? You want to share?
Sure.
What did you hear on the call today that you feel is going to help or make you better at this?
Two things. One is to block out one day a week instead of two daily, and I was suffering. So I'm not gonna do that. Is not I'm not gonna suffer anymore. And I'm literally feeling sadness about that. I was like, my goodness. But I'm happy because yesterday I literally deleted the 2 days of each day, a Monday through Friday, that I make those calls and return the emails. I just did that, and then here we are.
Great.
So, and then next is to not be attached to the result of the call.
Yeah.
So that's big for me. So I appreciate that.
So does it feel like it's going to be easier for you to make those calls now?
Oh, absolutely.
Great. Wonderful.
And I just like the idea of I'm going to request somebody to hold me accountable, and I'm going to use some form of tracking sheets, and I'm going to fill those out manually, and then I'm going to ask somebody to help with that. Meaning, just pass that on to help me stay accountable.
Yeah.
I bet your coach is going to help you do that too, isn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. And then I would like to, if I may, just get permission. Lynn left yet. I would like to get permission to call any of you if somebody isn't available, if I have a concern, and that way I can learn with you as this comes up in between the coaching calls and etc. So that's a request I have.
That sounds good. Let me send that information in the next email when I send the notes, and let's see who we hear from. Okay.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Del. And Karen, for me, the biggest part was getting organized, and the little spreadsheet that you talked about, that is going to help me a lot, too.
Uh-huh.
So, Karen, do you want to tell everyone that missed the first part of the call a little bit about how to reach you and your website?
Sure. Yeah. My website is www.salesachievercoaching.com, and the easiest way to reach me is to send an email to Karen@salesachievercoaching.com. And I am available for individual or group coaching, or for presentations like this to groups.
and would certainly, you know, hope to hear you on the next call, which my next call will be December 9th, when here again with Cheryl, we're going to address one critical piece that will make closing the deal easy, otherwise known as why sales is like baseball. So I'll be back in about 2.5 weeks for that.
That is great. For the ones on the call, plus the listeners later, a little bit about Prime Leaders Community, where it's a place for professionals to join to increase their leadership skills, discover ways to improve their business, just like this call, and help the profits and build the network. A lot of like-minded professionals working together to build the network. And there's also personal coaching that's along with that. So you can visit Prime Leaders, and it's www.primeleaders.com. And also in December on the 7th and the 13th, there will be teleseminars on having time on your side. Sometimes we just get buried with so much to do, but not enough time to do it all. These calls are going to start to help with that. And there's a new program starting in January called Having Time on Your Side, where we talk about the 6 strategies to get more done in less time. And for people who sign up before December 1st, they will get this program for $69 instead of $99. So if you're interested, please email me at Cheryl@primeleaders.com or call me at 520-730-4456. And Karen, I'd like to thank you for all the information today, and
thank you for having me, Cheryl.
Sure.
I got a quick question, if I may. Karen, if you have a minute afterwards, we're done.
Yes.
And Cheryl.
Okay.
Is that okay?
You bet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will go ahead and end the call now, and thanks to everyone.